Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal light. Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths open in your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Alleluia.
We'll say together the Jubilate on your handout or on page 82 in the Book of Common Prayer. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord, all lands, and come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age.
We will pray responsively Psalm 105, found on your handout and in the prayer book on page 738. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing praises to him.
And speak of all his marvelous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Search for the Lord and his strength.
Continually seek his face.
Remember the marvels he has done.
His wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant.
O children of Jacob, his chosen.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments prevail in all the world.
He has always been mindful of his covenant.
The promise he made for a thousand generations.
The covenant he made with Abraham.
The oath that he swore to Isaac.
Which he established as a statute for Jacob.
An everlasting covenant for Israel.
Saying, to you will I give the land of Canaan.
To be your allotted inheritance.
Hallelujah.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Laban said to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We will say together Canticle 21, found on your handout or on page 95 in the Book of Common Prayer. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the world church acclaims you. Father of majesty unbounded, true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not shun the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought by the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Amen.
The second lesson is from the book of Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks be to God. I invite you to mute as we sing together our sequence hymn, "Nearer My God to Thee," which can be found on your handout or your insert. Thank you.
according to St. Matthew, 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it was grown, it's the greatest of the shrubs to become the tree. Birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that everyone took and mixed in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven is just like a treasure hidden in the field, which someone found and hid. Then his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on search for fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it again, and the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It was thrown to sea and caught fish with a cane. On a school, they drew it ashore. Sat down and put the good in baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and submit the evil of righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. For there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then stood this he and they answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained to the kingdom of heaven is like the master of household, who brings out his treasure what has been on his home. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder what you think when you hear, once upon a time. I'm guessing most of us think of fairy tales. Most of us think of the stories we heard in our childhood. And I think about fairy tales like Little Red Riding Hood and Cinderella and Rapunzel, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And what is the purpose of fairy tales? And often fairy tales are told to little children. It's a moral story, but it also tells us the difference between good and evil, and that good usually wins. Did you know that Aesop wrote 725 fables 6 centuries before the birth of Jesus, and he was a freed slave from Greece? And again, Aesop's fables, which we may have heard in childhood, are telling us a moral story and the battle between good and evil, where good wins. But I wonder how that's different from the parables we hear today in Matthew. Matthew tells 23 different parables. But the parables also tell us about good and evil. The parables tell us about the kingdom of heaven. And the parables, unlike fables, don't use trees or rocks or mice or other talking animals to tell us a truth. The parables speak in metaphor to help us understand a deeper meaning. Yes, we can read them on the surface and they make no sense. And then when you listen to the deeper meaning, it tells us about the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven, yes, it's where God resides somewhere out there. But the kingdom of heaven, God is trying to explain to us, Jesus is trying to explain to us, what that would be like here on earth. What the purpose of Jesus's visit to earth is to teach us about the kingdom of God and how to bring forth the kingdom of God. So today we hear a string of parables. The kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed, which is the smallest seed of all the seeds, but when planted becomes the biggest tree of all, and a home for all the birds. Now the disciples would have known that the mustard seed is not the smallest seed, and when you plant it, it plants a bush, not the biggest tree, which is a home to all the birds. But what that parable of the mustard seed is telling us about is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is if you put the smallest amount of effort, you will get the biggest reward. It's talking about God's grace, this tiny bit of grace that makes all the difference in the world. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast. And if it's put in three measures, it leavens all of it. And we say, okay, that kind of makes sense. Until you understand that a measure of flour is 50 pounds. And if any of you are bakers, you know that one packet of yeast is not going to be enough leaven for 150 pounds of flour. But again, the kingdom of heaven is where this tiny bit of hopefulness, of grace, of love reaps much more than you could imagine. Much bigger than you can imagine. The kingdom of heaven is like this treasure that you found in a field. And upon finding it, you went and sold everything to buy that field. Now that kind of makes sense to us. If we found a treasure that was worth more than everything we owned, we'd gladly sell everything to buy it. But that's so that we could have more. But what it's saying is, the kingdom of heaven is a place where we're willing to give everything for the treasure that is Jesus Christ. Much like the pearl, a man was seeking pearls and he found the pearl of great price and he was willing to sell it all. And we think of the pearl as a pearl of wisdom, and wisdom is the Holy Spirit. And when we find that pearl of wisdom, we're willing to give it all to have that pearl of wisdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that's thrown into the sea, and when it comes up, it carries all the different types of the fish in the sea. And that's where we start to say, uh-oh. And the angels come and sort out the good from the bad, and the bad goes into the fire, eternal tears and gnashing of teeth. And we say, well, I don't like that one quite as much. But if we remember the times that it was written, this parable was said, is that you can either be for me, walk with me, follow my way, help build the kingdom of heaven, or else you have no place with me. If you're not going to follow me and teach this to others, well, then you're going to be left out. It's your choice. And when you see the kingdom of heaven, you are going to regret that you did not follow me. And Jesus asked the disciples, do you understand all this? And they say, yes. Earlier parables, they say, we have no idea what you're talking about. But this parable, they say, yes, we get it. We get that you're telling us about the kingdom of heaven as something that we can build here on earth. You're asking us to use our gifts because our little bit of gift that we put out there in the world multiplies. You're talking about the abundance of God, the love of God, the grace of God that is bigger than anything we can imagine. And if we believe in the love and grace of God and the abundance of God, we will be willing to give up everything to have that and to build that here. And so the disciples say, yes, we get that. We understand that. And we also understand that we're choosing to follow you because we want to help build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Today, I see many of you are wearing red, and you can hardly see against my black shirt the red in my scarf, but there's red in my scarf. Because today we're celebrating St. James. St. James, who was one of Jesus' disciples. And we know that St. James and his brother John were called at the same time. They were fishermen, and their father Zebedee owned the fishing business. And we guess that they were a family of wealth because they also had laborers. It wasn't just mom and pop. They had laborers as well that were helping fishing. And so Jesus calls them to come and follow me. And so we hear these stories about James. James, John, and Peter were the inner circle. James was the one who got to see the transfiguration, to witness Jesus with Moses and Elijah, dressed in white, dazzling clothes, They got to see that Jesus is the Messiah. James is one of the two brothers that went to Jesus and said, when you come into your kingdom, can we sit at your right and left hand? Can we be your governors? And Jesus said, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup? And they said, yes, we are. James and his brother and Jesus were walking through Samaria on their way to Jerusalem. And the Samaritans were not very kind to Jesus. They said, get out of our town. And James and John got the name Sons of Thunder because they said, Jesus, shall we call down fire to just burn this whole city? And Jesus said, no, stop that, and rebuked them. So James and John came from privilege, came from wealth, asked for power, sought power, looked for power, and knew the power that Jesus had to call down fire upon this city if he chose. And yet James chose to follow Jesus, a 3-year training of purification to change that thinking of what is power and prestige. And in the end, after Jesus' death and resurrection, James went and told those stories. James went and was a missionary. The legend has it that he went around the Mediterranean Sea and up to Spain and evangelized the people in Spain. But what we also know was James was one of the first martyrs. And we hear that in the book of Acts. What it said, about that time, King Herod laid hands upon some members of the church to harm them. He had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword. And when he saw that this was pleasing to the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. James knew what it meant to give your life, to give everything for Jesus and to build the kingdom of heaven. He was willing to give up the power, the prestige, the privilege in order to spread the good news, in order to bring others into the kingdom of heaven. And so today I ask you, are you willing to follow in the footsteps of James, in the footsteps of Jesus? Are you willing to give it all for the treasure that isn't in the field you have to buy? The treasure is right in front of you. The treasure is the invitation from Jesus to come, follow me, learn from me, and tell the good news. Amen. I invite you into a minute of silent reflection.
Excuse me.
I invite you to join with me in saying the Apostles' Creed, found on your booklet or in page 96 of the Book of Common Prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, be with you.
And also
with you.
Let us pray. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We will now do the suffrages on your handout or on page 94 in the prayer book. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Hold your mouth with righteousness.
Let your people sing with joy.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in you can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let your way be known upon earth.
Your saving help among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Lean hearts, O God.
And sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
The colic of the day. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we lose not the things eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
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 Hallowed for Sundays. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Colic for Mission. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth. You sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to mute as we sing together the anthem, Seek Ye First.
Live by bread alone, but
Prayers of the People is Form 6, found on the handout or on page 392 of the prayer book. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, for Prince, our bishop, for preachers Lynn and Gary, and for all other bishops and ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. For Kevin, Janet, Darlene and John, Tammy, Peggy and George, Bob, Jackie, Jen, Jamel, Brian, Dan, Ellen, Marietta and Jim, baby Eliza and family, Paige and Michael, Michael S., Stephen, Alicia, Jennifer and family, Doug, Tammy S., Jerry, Phil, Wendell, James, John, me, Lindsay, Holly, Sean, Kurt, G-Met, Ariel, Charlie, Raymond, Renee, Heather, Eva, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, and those in the military, and those who mourn.
Rachel and Carter's wedding yesterday. Give them peace throughout their life.
For my family in Hawaii.
For Shanoa.
For Ashlyn.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
Beautiful place that we live in.
Thank you for Patty and Michael not being hurt when the house was by lightning.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have been placed in your eternal kingdom.
Jerry.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Who put their trust in you. O Lord, our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the general thanksgiving that's in your handout or in the Book of Common Prayer on page 101. Almighty God,
Father
of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness, loving kindness to us and to all you have made. We bless you for your creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your measure of love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ,
our Lord,
with you and the Holy Spirit, the honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. I invite you to mute as we sing our closing hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Let's go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God. A couple of couple of announcements. First of all, happy St. James Day. It's great to see you all in red. And we think about that. The red is we wear is for the blood that was shed for this martyr who was willing to give himself for Christ. Tom and Carol are on the road for the next month, I believe, so we won't be hearing their anthems, but we wish them well as they travel to visit family and friends. The vestry is meeting this Wednesday. We will be discussing opening and safety and all those sorts of things. So we ask for your prayers. I thank everyone who has responded to me about whether you intend to come to St. James when we're open or not. So we are hopefully opening next Sunday. As far as I know, about a third of the people plan to come, two-thirds do not plan to come. My hope and prayer and intention is to be on Zoom, so it might be just a few of us on Zoom or more, but I will be walking around the sanctuary with my laptop. Okay, I'm not walking around the sanctuary. I'll be pretty much seated, as all of us will pretty much be seated where we are when we come in. So the vestry's meeting, please keep us in your prayers. And that is all. You're invited to stay for coffee hour.